An important conclusion from the latest Women Business and the Law report is that women's life expectancy is higher where they are legally protected from domestic violence. The project has built up a valuable database for 173 countries on domestic violence and sexual harassment and other forms of abuse. Things like child and early marriage, availability of protection orders for domestic violence, and so on. For instance, on domestic violence, we ask such questions as, is there legislation that specifically addresses domestic violence? Is there a specialized court or procedure for cases of domestic violence? Does domestic violence legislation also protect unmarried women? Does domestic violence legislation include emotional, financial, physical, sexual abuse? On sexual harassment, are there criminal sanctions for sexual harassment? Is there a government office tasked with addressing sexual harassment? Is there legislation on sexual harassment in education, employment, public places, service provision? Are there criminal sanctions for sexual harassment in employment? And so on. Three fascinating insights that one can glean from this database are as follows. Life expectancy for women is higher where they are legally protected from domestic violence. Considering that as recently as 1990 there were virtually no countries, or only a very small handful in the world where such legislation existed, one cannot help but think about 100 years of premature mortality of women associated with the lack of elemental legal protections, most often from intimate partners. A second observation is that over the past 25 years, the number of countries introducing laws addressing domestic violence has risen rapidly from close to zero, as noted earlier, to 127 today. And most interestingly and significantly, this increase has been encouraged by international and regional human rights conventions and campaigns. I find this tremendously encouraging, as there is sometimes skepticism about the real-world impact of, for instance, UN declarations or conventions. Incidentally, it is the case that following the adoption of CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, there is a reduction in the number of restrictions as captured by the data within a few years. Again, this, I think, is tremendously encouraging. Countries do seem to take seriously their commitments under this convention and follow through by eliminating many of the restrictions which have up to that point been included in the law. Of course, there is much that remains to be done. There are 46 countries that have no laws on domestic violence. There are various forms of domestic violence, physical, emotional, sexual, financial, or economic, and coverage of the legislation in those countries that do have these laws is very spotty. Economic violence, for instance, which can result in women being deprived of the economic means to leave an abusive relationship, is rarely covered. Only four of the 19 countries covered in the Middle East and North Africa region have legislation on domestic violence, and half in sub-Saharan Africa. Governments can also, of course, implement policies that make it easier for women to work, and this takes me to another area where an interesting observation can be made on the basis of the database. When we talk about incentives that make it easier for women to work, we think of paid maternity or paternity leave. We think of laws penalizing employers from firing pregnant women, of legal quotas for women in parliament, corporate boards, and local governments, laws mandating equal pay for equal work, and so on. And one of the things that we have seen is that in analyzing the data, the higher the number of these incentives making it easier for women to work, the lower the levels of inequality as measured by the Gini coefficients. And this makes sense. If you empower the 50% more disadvantaged half of the population, you get more income equality. And this is highly significant in light of perturbing income distribution trends worldwide and our apparent inability to do anything about it. As you know, there is a very intense policy debate within governments, in academic circles, in the broader media, raising questions about income distribution trends within countries, across countries, and to be able to come up with a public policy that actually allows us to improve the equity in society is tremendously significant.